thankfully, thanks to my dad's mentorship and guidance, I stuck with the business. And after that, just started getting bigger and bigger and teaching people everything from paid traffic to copywriting to funnel building. Did so well, we grew so fast and so great that we eventually had an issue with the FTC. And everyone has their opinion. I have mine as to whether it was justified or not, but it was what it was.
I actually spent 3 years in federal prison because I worked for a company, they got involved in a bunch of fraud. I was too close to it. I definitely was in the don't look, don't tell area. And I thought if I don't look and don't tell, I'm okay because I don't know.
It was in that journey of discovering how deep AI can go beyond just what we only hear about prompt. And that is just scratching the surface of what AI can do. That was what led me to fall in love with it. When I understood the depth of it, I was like, oh my God, we're in trouble. Like this thing can do many things.
Welcome to the 91 Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I am really, really excited. Last week, I actually spent almost the entire week with Onyx Singhal and his team and his amazing board of experts in Dallas. And Onyx, it's been literally just, you know, one business day. It was Friday afternoon, and now we're back. We're doing a podcast. We're going to be chatting. Thank you so much for making time to chat. For that odd person in our audience that may not know Onyx, tell us just a little bit about yourself and who you serve, and then we'll kind of dive into some of the fun stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and thank you for being there last week. It was awesome to finally meet you in person. So I've been in this industry for 23 years, and I started right out of college. And, you know, in college, I stumbled my way. 18 months, it took me forever to find out and figure out how to do affiliate marketing. I was doing some SEO black hat stuff, and then that switched over to paid traffic and started building email lists and then started teaching people how to do that. That was all by accident because I would get hit up to do consulting. And so I would say, sure. A broke college kid sitting in his dorm room, you know, someone wants to pay him a couple $100 an hour. Yeah, I'll take that. And then eventually it got so overwhelming. I was like, I was like, this sucks. Like, I'm selling time for money. Like, I could just get a job. Like, why am I doing this? And then someone introduced me to this world of information marketing. They were like, well, why don't you just put it in a course? And so at one point, before I knew it, I literally had a lineup. I didn't know anything about fulfillment houses or that you could actually, you know, get someone. So I had four computers. I hired four of my friends to sit in my apartment on my dorm, like on campus, and they were just burning DVDs and packaging things. And the USPS guy would come and pick up 5 to 10 boxes a day, and each one was sold for $500. I mean, it was crazy. Nice. And so when I graduated, you know, I had job offers from Wall Street, which my friends would die for. And then I had this business that was getting close to doing $1 million a year back then. This is 20 years ago. Thankfully, thanks to my dad's mentorship and guidance, I stuck with the business. And after that, just started getting bigger and bigger and teaching people everything from paid traffic to copywriting to funnel building. And eventually got to a point where we had such a huge audience that we started publishing people. So we'd find experts in other areas that I wasn't an expert in, and then we would bring them into our brand and publish them, and that did really well. And it did so well, we grew so fast and so great that we eventually had an issue with the FTC. And everyone has their opinion. I have mine as to whether it was justified or not, but it was what it was. It's settled. It's long gone. And lots learned from it. But in this whole time, I've come to learn, as you've experienced, how to build an amazing team, how to delegate properly. And you know what? I've been near bankruptcy before multiple times in that 20-year journey. And every single time we bounced back, we came back at 10 times the size of what we were before. So in a weird way, I'm like kind of looking forward to where things are going to go now that we kind of hit the reset button with the FTC. Today, I would say, man, it was about a year ago, that the AI bug just bit me. And it bit me hard. And I was on the other side. Jeff Hunter tells this story beautifully where, you know, early days, Jeff's in board of experts, and he would make posts, and I would hit him up and say, dude, I could totally tell that AI wrote that. You look like an idiot. Like, stop it, you know? And he loves to use this chat. He has a picture of this chat, and he loves using it, where I was like, AI sucks. And I'll tell you why. I think I got defensive because my training for 20-plus years is as a copywriter. That was my entry into this world. By the way, I'm a horrible writer, was. That's the first D- I got in school. turns out splicing is okay as long as you are writing well. People will still read. And so splices were like my English teacher's, you know, like death spiral with me. So, but if you think about it, right, AI almost first in our industry, at least first started to attack the copywriting space.
Oh yeah.
So you're hearing all this talk about copywriters will be replaced. And I think at some level deep down, I just took that personally. I was like, this is my industry. And now I'm the person that's like, yeah, I fired all my copywriters. And I had a team of 5 copywriters and I don't need them. I mean, you know, AI does a much better job right out the gate. It's crazy. So, but I got the bite in a very unique way. It wasn't the way most people do. Because I refused to even use it for writing copy. I was so convinced that it's stupid that I refused to do it. But at the same time, because of this FTC case, everything I wrote, every marketing piece I created, especially while I was under investigation, had to be legally reviewed. Well, lawyers charge a lot of money and take forever. So my bills, on top of my defense for the FTC, against the FTC, my bills were getting up to $20,000, $30,000 a month. And just reviewing material, plus 2-3 weeks, like, come on. We all know, us marketers, we create stuff the night before, if not like the hour before.
The night before, come on, that you're giving us more credit than we deserve.
Hey, look, those talks I gave at the Expert Summit, I am not ashamed to say I was up till 3 in the morning working on those. But that's partly by design. I like to do my talks when I'm in a live audience. I like to feel the audience first, see them, get to know them, and then, you know, make the talk and based on that. But anyways, so it wasn't working for me. So I remember thinking, huh. Everyone keeps saying ChatGPT can do everything. Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I'm sure it can handle this. I don't think it can write copy, but I'm sure it can just do this legal review stuff. I mean, this is simple stuff. You know, here's the code. Catch anything that violates the code. API, boom. I'll save myself a ton of money, you know, and get the lawyer to just do the final check. They can do it really quick. So it was supposed to take me 2-3 months. I set aside some money. I said, let's go build this thing for in-house use. And then as I started telling friends about it, they're like, oh my God, I would love that. Right. And so I was like, all right, well, let's code it in a way that it can become a company. Jonathan, 2 years later, we finally got it working. Here's why. AI is still not very good at context. Right. No. It's getting better now. It's almost there. And compliance is all context driven. But I'm so grateful that it wasn't, because it forced us to evolve the way we did the back end. Now, once I took a bite at that apple, I wasn't going to let go. Like, I'm not the type of person to quit. So I said, we're going to figure this damn thing out, even if it's no longer financially responsible to do so. We're going to figure it out. So that's when, and I'm not technical, by the way. I still can't put up a website till this day. But I understood I had to lead the tech team myself. Otherwise, it was going to go down a bad way. So I start learning about agentic and multi-layers and RAG systems and fine-tuning and all this cool world. And I can't believe that I can sit and actually speak about it intelligently today. But that it was in that journey of discovering how deep AI can go beyond just what we only hear about prompt. And that it's just scratching the surface of what AI can do. That was what led me to fall in love with it. When I understood the depth of it, I was like, oh my God, we're in trouble. Like, this thing can do many things. And I was on the horn a year before Mark Zuckerberg or Sam Altman even used the term agentic AI. I've been talking about it for a long time, realizing that this was going to be a reality soon enough. So now, if you were to say, hey, Anik, who do you serve? I've got 2 main missions I'm out there doing, right? I'm serving marketers because I love it. I tried to leave the marketing education world. Man, it's my identity. It's where I love this stuff. Like that event last week, that wasn't work. That was like hanging out with friends, you know? And so I teach marketers, but I'm able to teach more advanced stuff now. So we don't work with newbies. We don't help people start their businesses. We work with people in growing their businesses. And then the second side of it, I created a company called Ugentic AI. And what we're doing is leading the world of agentic AI. We're acquiring some of the best AI SaaS companies, putting them under one house. And then in a couple of years, we take it public. So sure enough, I probably will end up doing 10 times what I was doing before I got hit with the FTC. The track record continues. And this is something, this is a message I want to tell everybody, is if you're going through a dark time, just remember, man, it's how you react to it, because you can come out far stronger than you were before you went into it.
Wow, there's so much to unpack there, Anik, and I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know that you and I just recently met a couple months ago, so I don't know if you know my story, but you know, I actually spent 3 years in federal prison because I worked for a company, they got involved in a bunch of fraud. I was too close to it. I definitely was in the don't look, don't tell area, and I thought if I don't look and don't tell, I'm okay because I don't know. I found out that's not the way it works when it comes to conspiracy charges in the feds. I was too close, and you know what? I got in trouble for it. But like you said, it's how you bounce back. It's how you deal with it. Every one of us as business owners have issues that we need to deal with and troubles. And for me, it allowed me to really then focus on the thing I had to focus on, which is if you're going to work with a felon, you better know he's now got integrity and that he found it somewhere and figured out how to have it. And so it's now become a cornerstone of my brand and what we do. And it has allowed us to grow faster and larger than we probably ever would have, or certainly what I was thinking of 20 some years ago when it happened. So, you know, it is those hard knocks sometimes that make it. So I totally get that.
Yeah. First of all, I did not know that. And what a crazy story.
You should have told me that before you came to Dallas, right?
No, I would love to ask you so many questions about that. I've met multiple people now that are doing amazing things in the world of business who you know, got into a wrong way and were in prison. And it's like, I actually appreciate those people that bounce out of that even more, right? Because I feel like most people walking around the world don't really know what a real problem is.
Especially in, you know, developed countries. We just don't have any perspective on that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I want to dive back. I'd love to, anytime you want, by the way, happy to share with you. The reality, the simple story is I made the wrong friends, surrounded myself with the wrong people, and made some really stupid decisions because I thought, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so if I don't know, then I'm okay. Yeah, that wasn't the way it works, and that was my mistake. You know, no quibbles about it. No. But you talked about copywriting earlier, and I want to go back to that because it's one of the things that a lot of my audience is very interested in. In fact, one of my customers recently told me that they went from 5 full-time copywriters, they're an agency, down to 1 part-time copywriter because of AI. And I'd love to get your perspective. I know a lot of times I talk to people about it's possible, but it needs to be trained and it needs to be purposeful. I'd love to hear kind of if you can share anything you're comfortable with. How did you go from, you know, I am a copywriter, this is what I do, and I've got a team of amazing copywriters, to we can actually deliver more value with AI to our customers and to our what we're doing than if we don't use AI? How did that transition? Can you tell me a little bit about that and maybe
sure,
something you did?
Well, so some of it was just handed to me, right? So when the FTC case happened, we pulled the company back quite a bit. We had to realign a lot of our expenses. So we actually ended up letting go of all except for one of our copywriters. And but when we started picking back up growth, it was post me having gotten the AI bug. And so I just didn't see the need to go back and hire anyone. And I'll tell you why. So first and foremost, I've been teaching copy for a long time. I learned in a very unique situation. I have never, and this shocks most people, I have never taken an official copywriting course. I haven't even read a single book about copywriting. Mm. So all the greats out there, I probably should. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying I haven't.
Sure.
I ended up learning from the younger brother of Michael Masterson, Mark Ford. His younger brother's name is Justin Ford. Fell into it by accident, and he offered to make me his intern because he liked my writing. I laughed. I thought, this is insane. I was like, dude, I have like the worst relationship with writing. It's the only bad grade I've ever gotten. My teacher literally got so frustrated at one point, she told me, hey, whatever you do for a living, please don't write. I mean, that was how, that's words said to me. And a few best-selling books later and like $200 million in sales for my copy later. It's like ironic, right? But my systems and my way of writing copy are very different. And they're different by nature because I've not ever consumed the traditional training.
Makes so much sense.
I've come up with my own way of doing things, which I think is more efficient, more transparent, more genuine, and it obviously works. Now, the problem I have faced many a times when I hire copywriters is almost every single one of them has been through not just one, but copious amounts of existing training, right? Yes. They don't realize that when they apply to work for me and they throw all their certifications at me, with each certification you give me, you're less likely to get hired by me because I know that there are all these habits I have to train out of you. So one of the first things I loved about AI was its ability to match my voice and style. And that was, it took a while. This wasn't probably until even a year ago. And I'll tell you, even till this very moment, I don't think ChatGPT does as good of a job. Much better. But Claude, man, it's an extension of me. There are things Claude has written that I go back to a few weeks later, and I can't remember if I've already edited it or not. Meaning it's tricking me. I don't know whether I edited that, if that was the final product, or if that was out of Claude. I have to go into Claude and check and realize this is the original writing out of it. The second thing, so when I went into using AI to get over this mind hump of like, I don't want to use it and this sucks, I just looked at it as more of like, okay, I hate a blank page. I can't write worth the crap at the blank page. As a matter of fact, sometimes you just have to write a bunch of nonsense and give it to me, and I'm going to redline the whole thing anyways. I just need words on a page, right? Yeah. So I told myself, I was like, even if it writes crap, at least it's words on a page. It'll help you move faster. And over time, that crap became decent, became good, and to the point now where it's great. But it all comes down to one thing and one thing only. I don't believe in prompts. Actually, I don't prompt much. I talk to my system. So what I'll do is... Yeah. I have a transcription app on my phone and I just talk into it. It transcribes what I'm saying. I copy paste. That's my prompt. And I just, so just like I would be saying to anyone of my employees is exactly how I talk to this thing. And so what I realize is training and getting a good feel for how to train is important. So I'll throw some things out there, nuggets for everybody. Number one, Claude, right? Anyone who uses AI for writing, if they're worth a dime, they're going to tell you Claude's the best. It still is the best. It's the reigning king of that. Projects. Projects allows you to have a knowledge base where you can dump some files. All right. Now let's talk about that. So what, in theory, what you're doing is creating like an internal RAG system inside of Claude. You're basically giving it a source of things to review and look at. So you would think that, okay, if I go out and create my own RAG system and API into Claude and have it work with my external knowledge base, same thing, right? Nope, not. I have beaten my head to death with this. The knowledge base written content from Claude is going to be twice as good as when you API into it and try to give it a knowledge base outside of it. There's something magical about their algorithm and how they read project. Now, let me give you guys another one. I have this bad habit, Jonathan. So if I take one tablet of something and it makes me feel good, my automatic nature in my brain is to say, take two.
It's logical. You know? I get it entirely.
Right? And then if two's good, take four. Until a point where it's like, it's not good for you anymore. Like, you know, stop. More of something is not always better. So when I started with the whole training concept, I thought, why is everyone out here talking about, like Jeff would be like, you got to train it properly. I'm like, what do you mean, dude? I have so much stuff, Jeff. I'll just dump it all in there. Mm-hmm. That'll be better training than your training. So prime example, I'm working on a book right now. And so what I did is I went into Claude Projects and I gave it a book I had written in 2017. And then I gave it a book I wrote this past year. And then I gave it a bunch of knowledge stuff just so that it doesn't pull from the internet. But I tell it like, hey, I've given you brain dumps of my thoughts, my systems right from that. So it's my content and not just some generic content on the internet. So it starts to write. And now this is after I trust Claude completely. And so it's writing. And I'm like, why does this sound so bad? Right? Like, this doesn't sound like me. So I'm confused. I'm like, come on, Claude. Like, I've been working with you on this project. Yeah. I'm talking to him. Like, I've been working with you on this project. You've got my voice perfect. What are you messing up here for? And so then I noticed something. On the other project, I had not added the book from 2017. So I got curious, and I pulled up the book from 2017. Guess what I didn't like? The writing style. Turns out, over the last seven, 8 years, I've evolved as a writer. I write differently than I did seven, 8 years ago. And so now I'm like, huh, I wonder if I'm giving it two conflicting writing styles and it's getting confused. One book writes one way, the other writes completely different. So I actually pulled out the old book. And I only kept one book in there, which in my head was screaming like, one's not enough, one's not enough. You'd be surprised how little AI needs nowadays to like figure things out. So there is such a thing as too much.
Yes, 100%.
And went back and said, rewrite this chapter using the knowledge base and using this book. Forget what you had seen before. And what came out was perfect. And so that was a moment, and this is recent, was when I go, oh, I think that's what Jeff means by training it properly. Don't overtrain it, don't undertrain it, and keep playing with it, right? So if you're not liking the output, sure, the prompt may have something to do with it, but more times than less, it's the training material. You have to go back and fiddle with that and keep changing it.
I love that story, and it fits in so accurately with one of the things I teach a lot of the business owners that when we're starting with AI, and I do believe training is really important. But what most people don't understand is that if you've taken a personality test, like a Myers-Briggs as an example, and you simply would say, as a starting point, and this is not perfect, but and it's not what I use today, but as a starting point, I'm an ENTP. AI will know so much about the personality style of someone who is an ENTP in Myers-Briggs that it will now sound, and I always, it's that old 80-20 rule, it'll probably get you 80% of the way there to copy that now doesn't sound like AI and sounds like you. Is it perfect? No, but it's literally something you can do in minutes because like you said, AI has all that background data. You know, in your case, you've got more data you can upload. That's amazing. Let's face it, most business owners, we haven't written a bunch of books. We don't have a lot of stuff out there. We've been told to write content for years and we've not been doing it. So, you know, I love though how important it is. And I like you, I love Claude. I think Claude is the king when it comes to writing content. There are a few things I wish it did better, but that mainly has to do with telling me when I'm in the midst of a project that I've got three more queries in the next 4 hours and I'm like, but I'm not done yet.
Hey, have you ever had the fight with Claude where it's like, hey, this is great. Give me 10 minutes and I'll come back and give it to you. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're just me. You're never going to come back and give it to me. And I swear they've trained Claude to be like a real human. So the more you use that chat, it gets lazy. It starts to like just it. So you have to create new chats. Just and I'm like, this is so stupid. It's like a human. If I have someone, right, they're going to give me better output at 9, 10 a.m. than whether I'm like giving them stuff at 6, 7 p.m. And it's exactly how it works. So it baffles
me. It is so true.
But,
well, you know,
ChatGPT doesn't do that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Now, I have never had Claude tell me, get back to me in 10 minutes or back to me in an hour. I have had ChatGPT tell me that, though, where it's like, give me 4 hours and I'll have this done, or give me 24 hours. And I'm always amazed because I'm like, just continue. Okay, here it is.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, it's just trying to shake you off. It's not actually going to give you crap. So you can wait 4 hours, come back. It's nothing. It's forgotten. I had a huge battle with this with Claude. And during the time that I was having it, it was pretty public on Reddit. There was a lot of people talking about it. So I think they addressed it pretty aggressively, especially with 3.7 that went away. But that's my one complaint with Claude. You nailed it. And which is why I tried to use the API RAG system to get away from that nonsense and the limitations. But we're close, but we just haven't figured out how to get Claude to treat an external RAG system the way it treats its own knowledge base. There's something magical about that.
Oh, I find that really interesting. I've done both, but not with the level of testing that you've done that. So I don't necessarily have that same comparative data. And I think it's really interesting that it can't seem to quite replicate that with the external database, because as you and I both know, I mean, neither of us are programmers by nature, but that shouldn't matter if the data is there. It really shouldn't. But obviously there's some magic sauce happening in that we're not seeing that does make it better. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Anik, one of the things I love asking people, and you know, you're a great example for this because you've been very successful in business over many years. You didn't immediately embrace AI. You weren't the ADD Jonathan version who's like, oh my gosh, this lets me get so much done. I want to teach everybody. Yeah. You took a slower path and now are on board. for that business owner that's looking, as you know, this is going on in 2025, and we know, and you've probably seen the stats like I have, less than 17% of the people, if you believe the latest stats, are regularly and consistently using AI in their business. And that was defined by prompting more than once a day on a regular basis. That means there's a lot of businesses that aren't doing that. If you were to speak face-to-face with our audience, mainly business owners, and go, okay, we know part of you says, I want to stick my head in the sand and ignore it because I'm busy, I've got a business to run. Part of you wants to say, let's just embrace it all right away. Neither of those being the right answer. What advice would you give to those business owners on how to start leveraging AI, not only for themselves and the leadership team, but for their team itself? Because I think that's personally where the real scalability comes into place. If I've got even 10 employees and they all can save a half hour a day, that's monumental to my business long term. Mm-hmm. So anyway, enough of that. Yeah. What would you recommend that a business do if they're like, okay, now's the time, I need to get serious about this?
Okay, so I've been thinking a lot about this, right? Why haven't more people jumped in? And Jonathan, I think you were in the room, or maybe you weren't, but we did a board of experts specific panel on AI, okay? So let me give everyone some reference here. Board of experts are online business owners that are doing mostly education or SaaS, and these guys are doing millions. So they've been in the space for years, they're connected, they're in this mastermind, which gives mm-hmm. them access to the most cutting edge stuff. A few of our members are literally the leading members in AI. Now you're in that group. Mm-hmm. And during this panel, the questions we got from the room that should be the room that's all using AI, the questions we got was clearly showed us that even that room has no idea the capability of AI and what it can do. And if that's what the room looks like, forget about that local business owner or that small business owner. Like they're not even thinking about it. And I'll tell you what it is. I think it's the fact that they just don't know what it can do. So they, you know, you hear about it writing social media posts, and right out of the gate, 95% of small business owners are like, I don't even bother with social media, right? Or you hear about it writing copy, they're like, well, I don't write copy. Or you hear about it, you know, doing research, deep research for something, and they're like, well, I don't care about research. I know my market. I know what I'm doing. So let me give you guys some examples so that, and I'll give you a challenge. If you're listening to this and haven't deployed it yet, pick anything. All right, pick anything on your task list today, and just say, I'm going to try to do this with AI. Here are some of the ways I've used AI in the last 24 hours. Number one, provide a job description. Okay, so what do? I take out my phone. I take a voice transcription app. iPhones have Voice Note that does it for you. It's free. It's with the phone. Take it. I talk into it. Hey, I'm looking for a person that can do blah, 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 blah. Just brain dump in no order. Disorganize this crap. Us and las and all that all over. Take that transcript. Pop it into ChatGPT or Claude. And just say, I need a job description for this position title. Here is my brain dump. Go. And be amazed. I challenge you to come back and tell me that didn't just save you 2 hours. I promise, okay? Number two, here's how I use AI right now. I was in a heated engagement with a team member, okay? And I did not want to be emotional. I wanted to respond like a good leader, but... So you know what I was doing? I was taking screenshots of the chat and kept uploading it into ChatGPT. And it was analyzing it. And I was saying, how do I respond? What should I do? Here's what I'm trying to get. Here's my outcome I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Guided me through that thing magically. Okay, number three, my peptides and supplements and my health. I will tell you right now, I've been to Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. I've been to Hopkins. I've been to the top doctors all over the world. My biggest... evolution in health has come from asking ChatGPT some questions. It was fascinating to me that the best doctors didn't know what ChatGPT just very nonchalantly says, try this. And I did. Now, of course, get everything checked by. I did. I got actually the advice checked by my functional medicine doctor and she approved of it. Then I did it. But so far, it's been pretty spot on to the point where my functional medicine doctor was like, what are you using for all this? Like, you're sending me all these approvals. Who's guiding you? And I'm like, ChatGPT. Another way I used it recently in my business is I'm out here trying to buy companies and I want to create a formula for evaluations, how I create value of a company. I now have a calculator. I created a thing on ChatGPT, which is going to turn into a little software, which Manus is going to create, where I just said, it told me, here's the variables that are important. And I just tell it the answers to those and out pops a private buyer valuation, a VC valuation, a private equity valuation, and a agentic AI valuation. Completely unemotional, just straight numbers, hard numbers driven. So I can tell you right now, another way I've used it, so I talked about job descriptions, we talked about social media, we talked about copywriting, just to explore with as a back and forth, brainstorm. Hey, I'm thinking about this idea. What do you think? Give me some ideas on this. You think this will work? You think it won't work? Anything. Okay. The other day, I wanted to know, last night, you're going to laugh at this. Last night. Okay. I've been having some really bad back pain. All right. And then last week in Dallas, the whole week, I didn't have any back pain. I'm like, and as soon as I came back, within a day of being back home, my back pain started again. Like, what the heck is this? If anything, I should have had a back pain in Dallas. I'm on my feet the whole day. I'm like walking around for 15, 16 hours. So I noticed something. Way back years ago when I had COVID, I had propped my bed up, my sleep number bed. So it was just ever so slightly tilted. So I'm talking to ChatGPT and it's like, that's it. That's crazy. Because I sleep on my stomach. It's like you're sleeping like in the weirdest way. Sure. Now, funny enough, okay, I can't get the damn thing down. I'm on my app.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I don't see the control for getting this thing down. So I take screenshots, I upload to ChatGPT. What am I missing? What am I not seeing? Like, I'm telling you, I've become stupid now. Like, using my brain is like the third thing on my mind right now. So I was like, I don't see it. And ChatGPT is like, hey, wait a minute. What year did you buy this bed? I'm like, 2016. He goes, oh, in 2020, they phased out the app, blah, 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 blah. You can't do it using apps anymore. I literally thought, bullshit. I'm like, that sounds like the dumbest thing. Why would they do that? Turns out it's true. And it was like, go find the remote. I found the remote. Remote's not working. Told me what to do to reset the remote. I did it. The remote reset. I got my bed down. And this morning, woke up with no back pain. And so wow. I'm just sharing all these crazy ways. Guys, you all think that you have to use this technology for like these big things. I can't remember the last time I went to Google, Jonathan. I can't. I just can't. I'm worried about Google. If Google's not worried about Google, I'm worried. I was talking to someone whose company that we're buying right now, and she's a webmaster, so she runs big blogs. She told me her Google traffic, get this, down 90%.
Wow.
And I was like, no way. She's like, it's down 90%. She's like, I can show you the data. Her site gets millions upon billions of views a month. She's like, it's down 90%. My income is cut by less than half right now. On like AdSense and all of that. I was like, wow. So think to yourself, just look at your task list right now. Pick anything. What's the worst that could happen? And by the way, you don't need a prompt. Don't go prompt research. Whatever it is, just like if you were to hand that to someone else in your team, whatever you would say to them, say on a voice note, transcribe, take it, pop it into ChatGPT, Claude, or whatever. Now, I'll give you guys three tools. I know that it's overwhelming. There's so many out there. And every night I go to bed, I wake up. It's six more, right? China's been busy. ChatGPT for all your research, personal stuff, conversations, advisory, just kind of your back and forth. I love ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Anything writing, social media posts, copywriting, you know, proposal writing, Claude. Number three, the one that I'm really getting into right now, I'm playing with, I think the leader right now of the agentic AI movement is Manus. So if you want to get advanced and you want to play around with some killer stuff, go to Manus. But just start with ChatGPT. Take a task on your list right now. Voice dictate what you would do to give that task to someone else. Pop it into ChatGPT. Be amazed. And then the bug will bite you. After that, you'll be in Jonathan's group for the next 6 hours Googling and looking around. And not Googling, but searching and looking around.
Great advice. Wow, I love that. I love it. And so practical and applicable. I love some of the things you shared about, you know, how to use the vision mode by taking pictures and asking ChatGPT to analyze that or tell you where things are and to do that. I love the way you're integrating that. And I agree with you. I haven't been to Google search. Now, I'm a huge fan of Google's Gemini's deep research, but I haven't been to Google search in I don't know how many months because... Yeah. Why?
Why?
Why? I don't need a list of websites. I want the answer, you know?
Yeah. Jonathan, I had this like skin issue on my skin a couple of days ago. I took a picture of it and uploaded it to ChatGPT. It told me what to do. It told me which over-the-counter cream to get. I got it. And guess what? 2 days later, so much better.
That is amazing.
Guys, you have no idea like the level of instantness you have in your hands right now. It's just because you don't realize that the thing that you currently are working on right now, AI can help you with. Like whatever it is. I don't care what it is. It can help you with.
Well, and that's a great way to bring us in as we get ready to bring the plane in for a landing. You know, we kind of ended that in the final AI panel last week at Dallas, talking about AI first. That's, you know, I think where you left everybody, encouraging them, think AI first. Not, I could use AI, but no, how can I use AI first? It's the first thing we should be thinking of, because it is becoming that point that it can save us not just minutes, but hours a day. And that productivity, absolutely. I mean, we don't work just for the sake of working. I love what I do, but I do it for my family. And if I can get more time with my family, more time, you know, yesterday my son and I went out and rode quads for the afternoon. Those are the things that I work hard for, not so that I could work an extra hour today. So I love that.
One more. Sorry. Please? I got to throw this. Like, one more, because I feel like these just get people thinking. Last night, the prime example of beat time with family, right?
Yeah.
So last night at 11 o'clock, Jason Fladlin and I are going back and forth on an offer we're putting together. And he gave me this big brain dump. It was like 22 things in there. And there's things missing. There's too many things in there. And we need to create a tight offer. So I have a training I did on how to put together really good offers. It's like a 45-minute training. And I had the I took the video, I transcribed it real quick using a separate tool I use, took the transcript, went to ChatGPT, that I used ChatGPT for this, uploaded the transcript. I said, hey, this is my formula for creating offers. You got it? And it's like, yeah. By the way, you don't have to have your own training. Go to YouTube or whatever. Right? If there's a training out there on how to create a great offer and you like it, take that. That's the framework. I gave it to ChatGPT. I probably didn't even need to do that. It probably already knows. And I said, here's a brain dump. And I gave an audio note. This is from my friend Jason. Him and I are working on something together. It's going to be this price point. We're going to sell it this way. It's going to be at this point in the funnel. People are going to watch a webinar for about an hour, and then we're going to make this offer. We want to sell it for $3,000. But this is a lot of stuff here. I want you to think like this person. You are this buyer. You are a information marketer doing $300,000 a year. La, 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 la. These are the problems you face. Write me an offer. Put the offer together using my framework. This would have taken me an hour to do. AI first, 5 minutes. And it outputted something that was 90% ready to go.
Great example. And then again, one of those many things. Again, why spend hours when we can do something in 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Just so valuable.
But you got to train yourself for AI first. It's not a natural instinct, right? Like, it's was gearing up to sit down for an hour. It was going to be an hour I didn't get to see my family for, my wife for. I was gearing up to sit down for an hour because I'm used to that. 23 years of doing that. And I thought, wait. Well, I wonder if AI can help with this. And I've never used AI for that. So now there's one more thing I know AI can do, is one less thing I have to do. And so if you think AI first, of course, for one out of every five things you try, you won't be very happy with it or whatever. So go ahead and do that one on your own. But if you can shave off four, are you kidding me? It gives you 80% of your day back. I'll take it.
Massive, massive shares. So much gold today. Anik, thank you. I know you've been so busy and you've got so much going on. As we wrap things up, if people want to reach out to you, they want to learn more about what you're doing, the training you're doing, Board of Experts. By the way, I am a member of Board of Experts and can unequivocally recommend it to anybody where it's a good fit. It's not a good fit for everybody, but where it is, it's amazing. Anik, how do people get in touch with you?
It's so crazy right now, man. We are so focused on relationship marketing that, like, I don't even have any funnels up at the moment. We have some new funnels coming out. I've never had a period of 23 years in my life where I was like, I don't have a funnel. So what I would tell you, funny enough, is go to Facebook, find me, Anik Singhal. I manage my Facebook myself. It's not a VA or anybody else. It's against their terms, and I won't mess around with it. Just message me. Hit me up. But, you know, we have another expert summit we'll do here next year, so keep an eye out for that. That's the event that Jonathan came to. We'll go bigger and better next year. Boardofexperts.com. If you're already generating revenue in the info or SaaS space, check it out. Go to boardofexperts.com, and you can read more about what we've put together. And then that's it, right? If you hit me up and if there's something I can do, I'll be happy to help you.
Anik, again, thank you so much for your time today. So grateful for you. So thrilled that we were able to connect and meet in Dallas last week. Also want to take a moment and thank everybody that's listened in or watched on the podcast. Guys, we do this for you, and we thank you for taking the time. We just want to say thank you so much. We will see you guys on the other side. Make it a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.